everyone, welcome back. Welcome back to the Letters and Layers podcast, your award-winning podcast for all things mental health, wellness, life lessons, personal insights, books, and everything in between. This is your host, Amaka, and welcome to any new listeners. I hope you enjoy this episode. It is Tuesday, November 11th, when I am recording. How am I doing? I'm doing pretty good. It's a holiday for most people in the States. Maybe not most, but it's a federal holiday today, so many people have off, and I'm not one of them. I am not one of them. I have a full patient schedule today, but my workday does not start until early afternoon. So here I am in the morning at the 8 o'clock hour Central Time recording this for you guys. And I'm really excited for this episode. I wasn't sure after I had recorded the last episode about, you know, maintaining friendships, which I've spoken on, you know, quite a bit, and drinking your water. I wasn't sure what I would be talking about today, but then it kind of came to me because I watched an interview that Tracee Ellis Ross did with Emma Greed on YouTube, and she said something that sparked an idea for the podcast, and it was the fact that a lot of people that we see in the public eye and various forms of entertainment and sports and, you know, just many different facets of careers, sometimes it seems like they kind of sprung out of nowhere. Maybe they became famous overnight or well-known overnight. And Tracee said something on the podcast that reminded me how long it can truly take to become a quote unquote overnight success, as you can see from the title of this episode. So that's what I'm focusing on this episode. I'm really excited to chat about it. I did some digging online and have identified specific examples of people in entertainment and mainstream and Black culture who are famous now, but have been grinding and doing their thing under the radar for several years. Because sometimes it can feel like these people just kind of hit the jackpot and have everything they want, but they have really been working hard for a really long time. And I'm one of those examples. I'm going to use myself as an example because I feel like the math works as far as the years are concerned. But yeah, circling back, I'm doing really well. We got our first snowfall of the fall, I guess for later in the year, we got our first snowfall yesterday. So I'm looking out my bay window and almost all of the garage roofs are covered in snow. And it's like kind of cloudy outside, but I love it. I love it. I know people sometimes, me included, depending on the year, might struggle with the transition from longer days and warmer weather to like fall and the change of like daylight savings and the colder weather. But for some reason, I am all about it this year. I am completely welcoming the change. I don't even mind the shorter days. Part of me is trying to kind of romanticize the evenings more. My husband bought this really cute like portable fireplace that we put in our bedroom. So once it gets dark, we turn on the little fake fireplace, and it's a heater too. It's a heater, but it looks like a cute little fireplace. So to kind of set the mood when the day, you know, is done and it's dark, I go into the room, turn on the fireplace. If it's cold, I'll turn on the heater and kind of just like settle in for the night and watch my favorite sitcoms. I've become a fan of Pluto TV, and I've been watching all my old favorite shows, King of Queens, Girlfriends I've always watched, I've never stopped, but they do run reruns of Girlfriends. So Girlfriends, King of Queens, what else? A couple of other shows, Eve. Eve. How many people remember that show, Eve? Like, that girl really, she did so much in her career. She's chilling now, as far as I know. But she was a sitcom star for a few years, along with her very, you know, successful rap career and everything. But I digress. So yeah, I love my evenings now. When I'm done with work, you know, I take a shower, I wash off the day, I turn on my fireplace, I curl into bed and I watch my shows. Sometimes I'll make some tea or read or what have you. So I definitely encourage folks who maybe struggle with the change in seasons, find ways to romanticize this time of the year. I know some people struggle with holidays and everything, but even if maybe it's not something that's particularly family oriented for you, try and find ways to make it special for yourself. You know, if you live in like a city area, Chicago's really great for putting on events for every season. So that's something I really appreciate about this city. There's always something to do. And if you find yourself in that type of environment, see what's out there that you're interested in. So it feels less like a punishment to be transitioning into this part of the year and more like just, you know, a natural progression and a time where you can find the beauty in it. So yeah, I've been doing good. I am just kind of getting ready for the work week. It's not too busy this week for me. And I made cinnamon rolls for the first time over the weekend. My husband loves cinnamon rolls. He gets them every once in a while from Cinnabon. He's been asking me since like last year if I could make them, but I was a little bit intimidated. I must say, gotta be completely honest, yeast intimidates me as far as like making pastries that involve yeast. I love to bake, but I typically don't make recipes that involve yeast. I made bread one time and it actually came out not bad at all. But I still tend to be scared when it comes to yeast because I'm like, what if I put in all this work and the yeast doesn't rise? So he's a medical resident, which I think I've mentioned on the podcast before. And he just came off 2 weeks of nights and he was working like 6 days a week, 12-hour nights. So I was like, you know what? He's been working super, like he's always working hard. He's a medical resident. But I don't know, I felt particularly for him after this 2 week block of 12 hour nights. So I was like, I'm gonna make these cinnamon rolls. So I was researching. One thing about me, if I'm venturing into a new recipe, I'm going to watch all the YouTube videos. I'm gonna read all the recipes, not all, but like, I'm gonna like watch a few YouTube videos. I'm gonna see which recipe I like. If I land on a specific video, I'm gonna watch that video over and over and over. So I found a particular cinnamon roll recipe that I liked and I watched it a few times. I made sure I had all the ingredients and yeah, it came out really well. There was at one point where I thought I had hit a hiccup because since the temperature has dropped in Chicago, our apartment was cold and we hadn't turned the heat on yet. So I was waiting for my dough to rise and it had been like 45 minutes and there was no change. So I was starting to freak out and I thought my worst fear was about to be realized that I did all this work and the yeast is not rising. But it turns out the recipe, even though I had, you know, the video, even though I had, you know, watched it quite a few times, I realized that the milk that was supposed to be incorporated into the recipe, the person who was doing the recipe didn't specify if it needs to be warm milk or cold. So I put cold milk into the dough, into the flour mixture. Meanwhile, it should have been warmed up. But thankfully, that wasn't the end of the world. It just meant that the dough was going to take longer to rise. So we turned on the heat. And thankfully, my dough rose. And I was able to move on with the recipe and, you know, I spread the cinnamon butter and rolled it into a log and cut it and put it in the baking tray and let it rise again, which it did. And then I baked it and then I made the frosting and it was delicious. I had quite a few, but I left the rest for my husband and he took one to work. which he shared with his co-residents and they loved. So now he asked me to make another batch for them for the holidays, which I'm happy to do. I was even thinking of doing it myself, but that's something I'll probably do after Thanksgiving. So I conquered a fear this weekend, and that kind of helped build a little bit more confidence in myself as a baker, because I really want to kind of become it. You know, it's like a personal aspiration of mine to become one of those like professional home bakers. I'm not gonna like open a store or anything, but like I don't mind spending money on all like the specialty tools. And if I need something for a specific recipe, I don't care how much it costs, I'm gonna get it. Like, I realized this weekend that I did not have a rolling pin, even though I swore I had one. But maybe just with like my multiple moves and stuff, maybe I just donated it, which just sounds unlike me, but regardless. So I ended up like cleaning one of my wine bottles and using that as a rolling pin, and it worked fine. But I'm gonna get an actual rolling pin. So yeah, I'm excited that the cinnamon rolls came out great. I learned a few lessons that I'm gonna incorporate into my next batch and other things. And now that I feel like I'm not afraid of yeast anymore, my next project will be brioche bread. So I wanna try and make that before the end of the year and maybe kind of share that as a Christmas gift with some of my friends if I land on a good recipe and I trial it and it comes out great. So that was probably the highlight of my weekend, making the cinnamon rolls and just having it come out perfect despite the initial hiccup, which wasn't really a hiccup. We just needed to warm the apartment up. So yeah, I think I've done enough chatting about myself personally. Before we talk about the process of becoming, you know, who you are, and you know, the concept of becoming an overnight success after 10 plus years, I need to talk about the Hulu show All's Fair. It's not good. That show is not good, in my humble opinion. And I was personally disappointed because they have been promoting the show, I have to say, since like March this year. It's definitely been since spring. And I'm like, oh, wow, this star-studded cast, like Glenn Close, Sarah Paulson, Niecy Nash, Tiana Taylor. There's another white female actress who's super, like really well-talented. I'm forgetting her name. And then Kim Kardashian. So I was like, okay, Kim Kardashian is in this, but there are all these powerhouse female actresses who have been in other TV shows and movies that I love. So even though Kim Kardashian is in it, it can't be bad. It can't be bad. So honestly, ever since they started promoting this show online earlier in the year, and then they started more so heavily promoting it over the past couple months, I was like, okay, like I was waiting for it to air, like, you know, November came and I was like, oh, okay, just a few more days and everything. And then, you know, it aired and I saw it on Hulu. I was like, oh, okay, like I'm gonna give it a shot. I'm gonna start watching it after work. It was hard to get through, honestly. I thought it would be something that would completely engulf me, because I was like, these are amazing actresses who have stood the test of time and have shown their worth and are like Golden Globe Award winning, Academy Award winning, you know. And sure, Kim Kardashian is in it, but I guess my rationale was like, Kim Kardashian's limited acting experience will be offset by the long-standing and tried and true acting experience of these powerhouse actresses. I think that's what my rationale was. And that's why I was like, regardless of Kim being in it, I'm going to give it a try. So that's what I thought. I thought it would just be offset. Kim is in it, but sure, it should still be good. I am sad to say that personally, I was wrong. It was hard to get through. I finished the first episode, but not all the way through. I started it, and maybe like 15 minutes in, I paused it. 15 minutes in, I paused it because I felt like I could feel myself starting to form an opinion already. But I was like, no. It's only been 15 minutes. I have to at least get through the first episode. But I was like, I think I need a break. So I took like a 15-minute break. I did a quick yoga sesh, like just 10 minutes just to stretch my body. Whether it's because of the show or not, I don't know. But I've just been trying to be more active as far as like daily stretching. So I did a quick 10-15 minute yoga thing. And then I went back to the show. And by the time I finished the first episode, I felt bad because I already knew what I thought. And I was like, this is not good. I was just like, how could a show like this have so many amazing, amazing, phenomenal actresses and be so bad? Like, I was wondering, is it like they must have really like the checks must have been huge. The checks must have been the types where you just can't turn them down, because I couldn't understand how these legitimately amazing actresses in their craft could agree to come on to this project. This might sound really strong, but I was just like, this is bad. This is bad. And it's not even like just Kim being not great. I don't think she's one of those people. I've shared this opinion before. She's one of those people where like her celebrity just overshadows everything. I'm not seeing the character that she's playing. I'm seeing Kim Kardashian in a show. It's almost like she's making a cameo throughout the whole episode. It's like there are the actresses who are playing the characters, and then there's Kim Kardashian who is cameoing, even though she has a character with a name and a plot and everything. Yeah, I don't know how this I can't even finish my sentence. I just was really disappointed at how not good it was. The writing is not good, in my opinion. I've never been a Ryan Murphy TV watcher, like American Horror Story, like the things he's done. Glee, I think he was executive producer or director or whatever. I was not part of the Glee fandom. You know, American Horror Story, I have never watched one episode. I think he produced the whole Jeffrey Dahmer thing on Netflix. I've never watched one episode. So I'm not privy to Ryan Murphy's work. But if this is an indication of what he has put out in the past, I'm not sure what the hype is around him as a director and executive producer. I really don't know. I don't get it. And I'm not trying to get it. But yeah, I got through the first episode and I was, as I keep saying, sorely disappointed. I love law shows. So like when the premise was released, this group of powerhouse women who are leaving a predominantly male firm to start their own all-female firm and represent only women, I was like, this is badass. This is badass. I am sad. I am tuned in. But it was, there wasn't really any law tussling back and forth like there is in real law shows. Like going to the court and being in front of a judge and making your case. Like, I love that stuff. But it wasn't really that. It was mostly like conference room, settlement talks, catching the husband in the act who's trying to divorce his wife but leave her with nothing type of thing. You know, kind of doing a gotcha here and there. It wasn't really the typical law show that I enjoy. So yeah, that kind of works against it too, in my opinion. The fashion in the show is great. I will give it that. And other people have said that too. Great fashion. But beyond that, it's not good. It's not good. And there are people that, you know, have said that they enjoy it. Maybe I had too high expectations. I love good TV. I love TV that you know, kind of sucks you in, good writing, good plot, you know, has you thinking about what happened when the episode is over type of thing. And that's not all fair for me. I tried to start the second episode, but I was like, I'm not going to subject myself to this. There are better television shows to spend my time on. But yeah, that's my review. I had planned to talk about on this episode, which I still plan to do, but having watched that show last week, I was like, I need to air out my grievances. I need to air out my grievances about this show somewhere. And where better than my lovely podcast? So if you still want to watch the show, watch it. This is my personal opinion. Many people agree, but we could all be wrong. I don't think we are. But if you're a fan of Glenn Close, of Sarah Paulson, of Teyana Taylor, of Niecy Nash, of Naomi Watts, I think it's Naomi Watts, the other white woman actress, watch the show. Formulate your own opinion. If you feel so inclined, let me know what you think. But yeah, I'm going to move on. I am going to move on. If folks are interested in what I'm watching right now that I enjoy, Doc, I love the show Doc. The morning show on Apple TV, I really enjoy. Matlock, I'm really enjoying. Those are probably the main three TV shows I'm watching right now. And then my reruns on Pluto. That's probably what's taking up most of my time. Sadly, I don't watch Grey's Anatomy anymore. I stopped like halfway through last season because it has just completely gone off the rails for me. And I know some people just, you know, feel like it went off the rails a long time ago, but I stayed on watching religiously till about season 20, maybe like halfway through season 21. I know they're on 22 right now. And I think The Pitt on HBO spoiled me, because that is such a fantastic medical drama. It just makes Grey's Anatomy, especially now, just seem so not what it used to be. I'll just say that. So I need to move on. Clearly, I could talk about TV forever at this point. But yes, I wanted to highlight the concept of overnight successes and how many times it feels like people kind of come out of nowhere and they're, you know, they become a breakthrough musician, a breakthrough actress or actor or whoever. Meanwhile, they have been grinding behind the scenes for an average of 10 years. And after watching the interview with Tracee Ellis Ross and Emma Greed, it just reminded me of that. And I started thinking about myself and how that applies to my career thus far. And I did some digging and I wanted to share some examples too. But first, I want to pull up the interview and just highlight quickly that piece in the interview where she said that. She mentioned that she pitched for Pattern Beauty, her beauty brand, Hair and Body, so far. She pitched it initially right after Girlfriends Wrapped. So Girlfriends Wrapped, 2008. So she said within that year of Girlfriends Wrapping, she pitched the first iteration of Pattern Beauty. And it was 10 plus years later that it finally got on the shelves. So let me find where she talks about that. All right, let's see here.
But my first hair care brand pitch when Girlfriends finished.
Oh, and I launched it when?
It took 11 years to get on shelves.
First 11 all, years.
We should say that story more. Because I'll say it more and I'll say it here. Like an overnight success.
No.
It took you, Tracee Ellis,
10 years.
10 years.
And I want to be very clear with people. This was 10 years and nobody thought it should be coming from me. This was before celebrity brands existed. I'm the founder. So that is often different, whereas people bring somebody in. But Pattern was built as a consumer who saw a blank space in the industry that just was not being serviced.
Okay. I'm going to rewind it and play it again because it's that important.
And then for 10 years, I wrote my first hair care brand pitch when Girlfriends finished.
Oh. And you launched it when?
It took 11 years to get on shelves.
First of all, we should say that story more, because everybody imagines it's an overnight success. So it took you, Tracy Ellis,
10 years.
10 years.
And I want to be very clear with people. This was 10 years, and nobody thought it should be coming from me. This was before celebrity brands existed. I'm the founder, so that is often different, whereas people bring somebody in. But Pattern was built as a consumer who saw a blank space in the industry.
So, like I said, and like she confirmed, it took her 10 plus years from initially pitching Pattern for it to get on the shelves. And it might seem like Pattern Beauty came out of nowhere, but clearly it took several years of blood, sweat, and tears to get it to be what it is now. And I think Pattern launched in maybe 2019. Or something. No, later than that. Has it been that long? I don't know. But it's been more of a greater known black hair care brand, or catered to women of color, over the last few years. But clearly it's been in development since before the 2010s. And hearing that from her just kind of reminded me, I feel like sometimes when I'm listening or reading other people's stories, the number 10 comes up very often, like when they started their journey versus when things popped and when they blew up and when they started to kind of amass a gigantic platform. It usually takes 10 plus years. Some people are lucky and they pop sooner than that. Some people have to grind beyond 10 years, but it's like 10 is the magic number. Speaking for myself personally, the time it took from graduating undergrad at Stony Brook to graduating Yale as an NP was 10 years. I graduated Stony Brook undergrad in 2011, and I graduated Yale as a psych NP in 2021, almost to the day. So, you know, that's just kind of how the number 10 and the process and the time and the grind, how long it took for me to get to that point. And I didn't even know that's where I was going to get to. But looking back, my professional journey, my academic journey, my general career trajectory, it made sense how all those decisions and detours and setbacks and just everything culminated to that moment. And I'm curious how things are going to, from 2021 to 2031, I'm curious where I will be in my life and how the number 10 will manifest in my career and personal life and journey. So I wanted to share myself as an example of just grinding for years. Tracy Ellis Ross, even with all the success she's had in media, even with the family she comes from, just, you know, the access and who she is as a public persona, still had to grind for several years to make this a reality. And I wanted to give some other examples. Shonda Rhimes, who for several years dominated evening television, Thursday nights, TGIT, who remembers that, on ABC. I remember scheduling my evenings on Thursday around those three episodes, shows, Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, were all either, you know, directed, not always directed, but they were all executive produced by Shonda Rhimes. And doing some digging with her story, she graduated with her master's in 1995, and Grey's Anatomy, her first hit show, launched in 2005. So it might seem like she kind of came onto the scene out of nowhere and became this huge executive producer powerhouse for ABC, but at least 10 years. And this is her master's. So it was probably longer, you know, from undergrad. She went to Dartmouth College for her bachelor's. I couldn't find where she went for her master's, but she graduated around 95. And her hit show, her first hit show, premiered, I believe it was January 2005. And her career as an executive producer skyrocketed from there. I also wanted to give the example of Uzo Aduba, who is my namesake. She graduated from Boston University early 2000s. It's looking like they don't give a specific year, but it's looking like maybe 2000, 2001, maybe even 2002 she graduated. As far as her early career, one of her early acting roles was translations of Dosa at the Olney Theater Center in 2003. So that was one of her early roles after college. And then Uzo came on the scene as a breakout star in Orange is the New Black in 2013. So from 2003 to 2013 is 10 years. And you can't say that she hasn't been grinding within that 10 years, because clearly she was in quite a few things. She was in that first play, and then she did a lot of theater before she broke out. She played Amphiris in The Seven in the New York Theater Workshop. And then she portrayed Toby in Helen Edmondson's adaptation of Corn Boy in the Imperial Theater. She was part of Godspell. This is 2011 to 2012. And then she had her first television appearance as a nurse on Blue Bloods in 2012. So I had no idea that she had kind of done all this primarily theater work and then one television appearance in 2012. She became known as who she is, as the Uzo Aduba, by playing Crazy Eyes on Origins of the New Black, which premiered in 2013. And that is what skyrocketed her into stardom. She has since been in so many things. She starred in Treatment, I believe that was on HBO, starred on The Residence on Netflix, and she's been in so many other things. And she has won so many awards. She is just that talented of an actress. And she was just another example I was like that I have to mention on this podcast, because she's one of those people that was just kind of under the radar. If you knew her, you knew her. But like as far as mainstream fame, it took 10 years. It took 10 years. Another person I wanted to give an example was a Black female news anchor on CNN right now, who Abby D. Phillip. She has been a news correspondent in various iterations for a lot of different outlets, but she's been on CNN, I think, the longest, and she has her own show now. But she started in communications and media 13 years prior to landing this show. I think she's had the show for maybe a year or two. So she has also been grinding for God knows how long and has been able to make her name for herself as a Black woman in media, in broadcasting, to the point where now she has her own anchor show on CNN. Who else? I think that might have been everybody as far as 10 years goes. I wanted to also give some honorable mentions. Because like I said, you know, it averages 10 years. Some people, it's like 10 years on the dot. It's like they start their journey and then year 10, they pop. But I would like to kind of give a little bit of wiggle room and say an average of 10 years, because some people pop sooner, some people pop later. Sometimes it just depends on preparation, access, who you know, opportunities you get. Issa Rae, I would be remiss if I didn't mention her. She graduated Stanford in 2007, and she launched Awkward Black Girl, if you know, you know, on YouTube in 2011, and then Insecure on HBO launched in 2016. So from her graduating Stanford in 2007 to Insecure launching in 2016 was 9 years, which is obviously as close to 10 as you can get. And Insecure was her breakout. She has since, you know, done other television shows and executive produced other forms of media and movies and has a hair care line and has coffee shops in LA. Like, she has branched out and created a name for herself in Black culture and mainstream culture to a degree. So I said, I have to mention her. Quinta Brunson, who is the creator and star of Abbott Elementary. From her starting at BuzzFeed to Abbott launching, I think in 2021 was about 7 years. So a shorter time frame as far as things go, but still a long time. Ayo Adebiri, she's having a breakout moment right now as far as like magazines, magazine covers, kind of culturally, she's having a moment. I think she was recently on Vogue. Her breakout role is in The Bear with Jeremy Allen White, but she started her journey 8 years prior. Let me see if I can find out when she graduated. Ayo Adebiri. Yeah, it doesn't say, it says she went to New York University, but when they start actually dating, her career is from 2014. She acted in an episode of the series Detectives in 2014 and has had some smaller roles here and there and has been a television writer too. But her breakout role was definitely in The Bear. That's where, you know, that's what she's known for and that's what she has started to build on. And yeah, like I said, she's having a moment right now, which is well-deserved. I think she was just in a movie with Julia Roberts and Andrew Garfield. And she's just been stacking all the credits, you know, just been acting. And like it says, she's been writing and just, I'm sure directing is in her future if she hasn't kind of like forayed into that already. So I don't know how many examples I've given, maybe like 7 or 8. But yeah, just the conversation with Emma Greed and Trace had me thinking again about this whole theme about taking 10 years to becoming overnight success. And that's one of the reasons why I keep doing this podcast, because I'm like, I'm at year 4 right now, but if I get to year 10 and I'm not where I hope to be, if I decided to sunset the podcast, I wouldn't feel guilty. But this is at minimum a 10-year project. And I started in 2021. So we'll see where I'm at in 2031. Maybe this will be one of those episodes that I listen to back 6 years from now. And I just have to pinch myself with where I am in my life and what I've accomplished. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I really enjoyed talking about the subjects I talked about. If you are watching on YouTube, I hope you enjoyed. I am filming this episode. I don't know when it will go up, but I am trying to be better about my YouTube channel. I just posted my birthday vlog last week from the summer. So, you know, there is movement there. And I do have a backlog of maybe 4 or maybe 5 now with this being filmed, videos that I just need to get done and up. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you are in that season of your life where you're grinding and you are just like, I've been at this for years, nothing is coming of it, I hope this gives you a little bit of inspiration to keep going, especially if you believe in what you're doing. You have to believe in what you're doing. If you don't believe in what you're doing, then maybe you should pivot. Maybe you should consider something else, because if you don't believe in it, I think it's more of a waste of time, to be honest. But if you believe in what you're doing, just because you're your only cheerleader does not mean it's not worth continuing to pursue. I feel like that's the only litmus test you need to kind of assess what you're doing with. Do you believe in it? Yes. Okay, keep going. Period. Point blank. It doesn't matter if nobody else knows about it or believes in it. If you believe in it, if it gives you joy, if you have your why, keep going. So yeah, thank you guys for listening. As always, please reach out to me, contact@theLettersAndLayers.com. Please rate, please review on your preferred listening platform. Give this award-winning podcast 5 stars. Thank you guys for listening. As always, I appreciate you. And yes, I will talk to you in the next episode. Take care. Bye.